The previous program was the Gary Null Show, heard Monday through Friday at noon. It's almost 1 p.m. Stay tuned for The Positive Mind coming up.
Star with you with The Positive Mind, bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. In the studio with me, Kevin O'Donohue.
Hey, Ben. Good to be back.
Good to see you.
Today's a good day.
And a guest, Dr. Kent Robertshaw. You've heard him before on these airwaves. Hi, Kent. Thanks for being back with us.
Always fun to be here, and today is
we need a psychiatrist
fun.
Today.
Yeah. So today is an exciting day for us here, especially me. This is a topic I've been excited to discuss for quite some time, as we heard that there was a sickness going around, a disease
needs to be addressed,
but it's not the worst kind of sickness you could get. We heard there's a case of World Cup fever rolling around the city, and we wanted to discuss that and what are the psychological and the mental health implications of the World Cup. How does it bring us together? How does it unite us? How does it bring communities together? How does it make people feel included and part of a group? And here we are on, you know, the tournament is well underway. It's been a very exciting tournament so far. Lots of surprises. And, you know, a lot of people around the city, Kevin, have been waiting 4 years for this.
Really?
Yeah.
So you're in the know, Ben, so I'm going to be interviewing you today in some ways. You're wearing your jersey, I can see. So you are a real, real fan. So we're going to be asking you lots of questions. Even callers could ask you questions. But tell me about it, because I don't get it. I mean, I don't have the fever. I take Advil every day, so maybe I'm not getting it. But tell me about the fever.
Well, it's not uncommon for people to say that. I mean, we are the only country where soccer hasn't become the dominant sport. But the interesting thing about New York City is that we have hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people in this city who have different cultural connections that have brought this sport as into their lives, as a big part of their lives.
Yeah.
It's in their families, it's in their neighborhoods, it's in their home countries. And we see that around the city. You know, whether you're in Jackson Heights or the Bronx or Brooklyn or Staten Island, every neighborhood, right, there's a little spot where people meet up, watch these matches, and there's a community, there's a belonging there.
I heard the other day that in Mexico there was seismic activity
going on. That happened.
Was it before, after the game or during the game? So you know more than I do.
Mexico played.
Kent, do you know about this?
Yeah, I watched the game. Yeah,
really? Tell me about it. What happened?
Well, you know, it was Mexico playing the winner of 4 years ago, Germany, right? So obviously they're, you know, thought that they could win this year. They're obviously one of the great teams in the tournament, Germany, and Mexico playing them. And after they scored the only goal of the game, apparently they picked up seismic forces of activity on the ground because of the exuberance and the amount of emotions, positive emotions and exuberance that we don't have enough in our day-to-day lives, came pouring out of people when they scored that goal, which ended up to be the game-winning goal.
Their biggest win, perhaps ever, at a World Cup.
Really? It was a good day to be a Mexican.
Absolutely. There's an organization in Mexico called the Institute of Geologic and Atmospheric Investigations,
right,
that said there was an artificial earthquake, possibly because of mass jumping. Because when that goal was scored, everyone in the country is jumping up and down for joy.
Right.
And this is what I thought we should, you know, be focusing on today is the unifying power of sports in general, and specifically this sport, and specifically this event, which brings people together from all over the world in a shared passion.
Yeah, I think it's important, Ben, because, you know, we try to talk about positive psychology, and there is a positive aspect to being a participant in a sports activity or to being a spectator in a sports activity. There's a lot of research articles about the value and the importance and the psychological benefits of being a spectator. And the more investment you have into a team or a sport, the more positive emotions that you have available to you. I mean, just think about it. If you're an isolated person, if you're not don't have experience with being around a lot of people, and you're shy, and you know it's difficult for you to interact with people, you can go to a game and catch the fever. I mean, we know positive emotions are contagious, just like negative emotions. All the science in the world says if you're sitting next to or in a room with somebody who's negative, that they will take the air out of the room. Well, similarly, if you're in the room with one happy person, that you are susceptible to getting their positive emotions. So imagine, multiply that by 40, 50,000 people. Multiply that by a country. So I think it's really, really important, Ben, to highlight this topic because it's in the atmosphere. It's in the air. How many cab drivers are rooting for their country in this city?
Not just
how many bodega owners, how many, you know, take a career, take a field and find how many people in office buildings. I heard that they've set up screens in office buildings.
Yeah, I've heard that too. I know a few people who have conference rooms at their workplaces that have been converted into viewing theaters for these matches.
It's a great way to bring your employees together. How many people are interacting now in an office building who normally wouldn't be interacting because the World Cup is on? I mean, so we want to talk today about the positive value of being a participant, being a spectator, being part of a group. And we need a psychiatrist here to help us out because, Kent, it really is a fever. Do you know about this fever about the World Cup? I mean, I even see you get really animated talking about Germany and Mexico. That was 4 years ago. What about this year?
No, that was
this weekend.
That was this weekend.
No. Germany won 4 years ago.
That's right. Germany won 4 years. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and dare I say, to get off soccer and football and talk about American football, I'm from Philadelphia. So the Eagles won this year. And I know firsthand, you know, what it did to many of us from Philadelphia.
Well, I mean, I know they had a big parade, right?
Exuberance beyond belief. I know exuberance.
That
I was also preparing for today when Chicago won the World Series. They had 5 million people showed up at that parade. Like 5 million, like it was the fourth largest group of people ever, you know, to celebrate.
Right.
So it shows for maybe some people in the audience that feel like sports, like the show we did on fashion, it doesn't make much of a difference.
Right.
These are powerful parts of human psychology, sports. There's so many radio shows that talk about sports. ESPN has like 10 different channels and the like. It's not just big businesses putting money into it. No, it's coming from a psychological need that people have that seem to want to enjoy sports. Hundreds of years, every civilization has had some form of sport. And it seems to, as you're talking about, satisfy some kind of need to connect, to fit in, to belong, and to, you know, encourage and watch people doing high performance exuberance and hard work and sort of be a fan and admiration of people's abilities to compete and compete very well.
Right.
There's a built-in community there.
Right.
Built-in, guaranteed. You're guaranteed. If you put on the colors of the team, does that up it a notch? You tell me, Ben, because you have some jerseys.
Yeah. I mean,
if you go with a T-shirt one night and then you go with your other shirt the next night, tell me.
Well, USA is not in this World Cup. We haven't qualified. But generally, as I have my whole life, I do root for France. When America's there, I'll root for them as well.
Right. Right.
But, you know, there is some kind of thing that happens when you become a part of this group, and even when you're not a part of this group. For example, I have Colombian friends, And I've gone in the past to Jackson Heights, which is a very predominantly Colombian area.
Right.
And on days where Colombia, the national team, is playing a game, Jackson Heights turns into a festival. I mean, it's a party. It's really wild. I mean, there's hundreds of people out in the streets dancing, singing, everyone's smiling, right? Unless they lose, and then, you know, there's there's some sad faces. But it's really incredible. And then just by being there, right?
Mm.
You can feel Colombian, even if you're not, because you're now in this.
If you wear the Colombian shirt, like, is that the yellow and green? No, that's
yellow,
Brazil.
Yeah, Colombian's yellow and red and blue.
Right.
Right.
So I could imagine, even if you're not Colombian, but you're wearing that shirt and you're around all these Colombians celebrating, do they dispatch Colombian policemen that day? You know, I wonder, like, the police back off, I'm sure, probably, during this kind of event, but... I could think that, yeah, you would wearing the Colombian jersey might help you feel even more camaraderie with the other native Colombians there.
Well, what happens is, you know, when I was wearing my Eagles shirt and hat during the Super Bowl weeks, you know, you'd walk down the street and there would be this, you know, instant sort of like walking by somebody, you know, wearing a similar jersey or something like that, and you would smile and go Birds or something like that. Again, it's like just strangers, right? And I assume when you're going to the World Cup, going to an event, going to a bar, something like that, here's all these strangers, you don't know them, and yet here we are, we have a shared sense of belonging, a shared passion. Right off the bat, we have some connection. We have some connection. I think people are, again, more friendly, less guarded, less worried about getting rejected or whatever, because right now we have something to connect over, which is our shared love of both soccer, and then obviously if you're in a specific restaurant with a specific nationality that you adore or love, it's like, okay, we're all on the same side here. We're us,
yes.
You know, yeah, we're
definitely an instant connection, Ken. I have a neighbor who's from Uruguay, and he actually went to this year's World Cup, and he texted me a photo of himself in a huge group of Uruguayans fans. He didn't know any of them. I mean, he just met them, but it's an instant family, right? He showed up wearing his light blue Uruguay jersey, and there it was, right? There's a community right there. And, you know, we wanted to discuss that. We wanted to hear from you and see how soccer has played a role in your life, if you feel a part of that community, if it's something that connects you to your family, to your culture. And if so, how so? We'd love to hear from you at 212-757-5555. You are listening to The Positive Mind here on 99.5 FM WBAI. Kevin, what about the psychological benefits of being invested emotionally in a sport or a team?
They're so rich. We've talked about positive psychology and the acronym PERMA, P-E-R-M-A, which is positive emotions, which you get at a sporting event. I mean, the opportunity to feel positive emotion at a sporting event is so much richer than in your normal daily life. Even at a concert, you know, when there's groups of people come together, there's a chance to experience ecstasy, right? There's a chance to experience jubilation, achievement, success. So positive emotion is one aspect of positive psychology. Just think about it. The Brooklyn Dodgers, some people are still not over.
I know some of them.
They're still not over the Brooklyn Dodgers leaving Brooklyn. You know, that was 1957. You know, so the power of sport, and I don't think it's sport. I think it's an excuse for people to get together, right? That's the ball is in the middle of the field, but it's actually, I think, the value, psychological value of it. And the real need, Kent, is that it brings people together, and it brings all sorts of emotions that you're even permitted to do in a stadium that you're not even permitted to do outside or even in your own home.
Well, again, I think that, you know, psychologically, we often are shamed in our culture, in our society, for having strong emotions, right? I mean, I have two children now under 10 years old, two boys, and the number of sideway glances I get from parents or whatever checking me because my children are exuberant in the zoo or Chuck E. Cheese or something like that, as if, you know, there's something wrong, like that TV show, Curb Your Enthusiasm. So I think a lot of adults, they don't understand that there's lots of our society and our growing up, not just in the classroom where you got to be tightened up to study, right. but even outside on Saturday at the beach or right. whatever. We're telling children, like, calm down, you know, don't get too excited. And there's obviously a part of this that wants to be childlike, exuberant, and to get to Mexico and the earthquake and whatever. It does seem like sports, particularly for males, is an opportunity to take off layers of shame and should about behavior and really become joyful and cry and hug a stranger and weep when your team wins or loses or something, in a way that men aren't typically right. able to show, and those kind of strong emotions.
And bond with daddy.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, here's a chance to be excited in front of daddy and show him your enthusiasm for something and really to be mirrored back from the father to the son. Yes, I share your enthusiasm.
Yeah, certain. Yeah, and I think that it has a connection. I mean, lots of households where, again, it's sort of like, you know, I'm interested in, you know, mortgage rates and my gutter, and my kid is interested in video games, and we're talking right. two different languages. But then sports, I think, for men, father, son, grandfather, right? Grandfather wants to yes. talk about what it was like in the mine in the 30s and everyone's snoozing around. But then all of a sudden, whether it's the football or basketball or soccer, all of a sudden, all the people in the family are like, we have a common language, we have a common passion, and we're all connecting at a level that we're finding it hard to find common ground that we like in common, because I want to talk about Fortnite and Grandpa wants to talk about World War II or something, right?
Right, right.
So it has that kind of connections, even within families and the like, of a shared passion and interest to cause families and people to connect that otherwise are having a hard time connecting.
212-757-5555. If you're a cab driver driving right now, we know that you have this earpiece in your ear. Every New York City cab driver has one now. So give us a call and tell us what team you're rooting for. Yeah, tell us. Tell us, are there positive benefits to being a spectator? Yeah, you're not participating. You're not kicking the ball. But educate our public. We can give you the research, and we'll give you more as we go, but we want to hear from you. What's the excitement in your neighborhood? When's your next game? Tell us about, do you wear the jersey? You know, I mean, are you on a day off away from the game and you wearing the jersey? I mean, how long does this last, Ben, the World Cup?
It's about a month long.
Do guys buy like 4 shirts and like, you know, so that they don't have to wash them?
A lot of people have lots of shirts. But, you know, I took a look at the places where soccer is most popular. So the three continents being South America, Africa, and Europe. And from those three continents alone, there's over 1 million people in this city that were born in one of those places.
Right.
So I know there's quite a few people right in our local area who are really following this passionately. I've heard people taking off work, calling in sick, right. just to stay home and yeah. watch yeah. their country. And it's an incredible thing. It's an incredible thing on a family level, because we've seen how it has the power to bridge a generational gap, like Kent was saying.
Yeah. yeah.
And on a community level.
212-757-5555. Let's get a sports fan out there just to give us a call. We want to talk with you. Here's a theory, Ben. If you are an only child, what team do you support? I mean, like, there's a science to, like, I'm a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, right? And I always, like, I've wondered. I was never a New York sports fan. I never picked the Yankees, you know. I've always picked foreign teams. And I wonder, like, if you're an only child or you're the firstborn, is there a science to what team you're going to be attracted to? I have a theory. If you're an only child, you want to support your local team, because that creates an instant family. You're part of the in-group, right? And there's nobody else in your home, so you want to create a bigger family. Well, I'm the 11th born, so I had no interest in being
a
member of this big family anymore. I wanted my own family, so it made sense to me. So if you're a firstborn or an only child, are you a local sports fan? You know, how do you belong? Where can you belong? So Game day is a chance to actually, even if you're a shy person, my neighbor, every time there's a game day, she wears the colors of the team, you know, the Mets. I mean, so I think 90 days of the summer she's wearing, you know, a Mets outfit. So, I mean, it really, I envy her. I mean, she belongs somewhere. She's excited from the moment she wakes up in the morning to the moment she goes to, after the team plays. I mean, so, Ben, you're a Mets fan.
I am.
How about it?
We've talked about it in the past. It's really the community aspect, the togetherness, right?
Yeah.
The feeling instantly part of something because I've put on a shirt that's a certain color.
Mm.
And that the connection, the positivity that comes out of that.
Do you have like a silent communication with other fans when you're walking around in that shirt?
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, people do the silent nod or the wink or the thumbs up.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Right.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. If somebody has the same team that you have on, the strangers on the subway or whatever, there's a look of like, right on, you know, right on. We're with the good guys or something. Because I think, you know, again, the us part of it, you know, there's some dark parts of us versus them. I'm not going to deny it, right? But let's be the positive mind and talk about the us. The us is we. You know, I'm part of it. We won yesterday, you know. And there's that.
Right.
Is the feeling. You know, studies would show that after a team wins, you know, after a team that you're a big fan of wins, that you're feeling like we won. Again, as if you're one of the 11 players or something like that. That's how strongly you identify with this team, as I'm a part of this team. This team's a part of me. I'm interconnected with it, you know. So I think, you know, I've read studies that people after their team wins, you know, their level of confidence on all across the board goes up, right? So that people are generally more positive and people will, you know, invest in the stock market thinking that the economy is going to go well. People will be more likely to take a risk because they're feeling confident. They'll be more likely to talk to some cute blonde at the subway station because they're feeling more confident. So there's studies that would show that after your team wins, I have won, and I have that sense of being a winner. That's part of the glow that people feel for days. I'm sure many Mexicans, you know, over the last
all
few
week,
days
right?
have been feeling,
all
you
week.
Know, really good about this, as they should every day, you know, good and positive and confident and the like. It would be wonderful, again, psychologically, Kevin and Ben, a lot of you would like to know, how can we tap into that 365 days a year? What can we do to have that sense of that we all should have, which is I'm okay and I'm, you know, I feel good about myself, you know. And when your team loses, the studies would show you're a little bit more pessimistic. You want change in society. Mm-hmm. There was a study about people whose team lost the Super Bowl in 2003. They were more pessimistic about the Iraq War and how much it was going to cost and everything. And if your team won the Super Bowl in 2003, you had the better sense of optimism and, oh, this war will be over soon and it won't cost less money. So it can pervasively affect the fan base across the board, negatively a little, you know, somewhat if your team loses, but on the plus side of this show, obviously, in a very positive, enthusiastic way of self-confidence and optimism about the future.
There were studies done around the last World Cup that showed that the winner of the whole thing, going back decades, right, the country experiences an economic boost for a full year after they win.
Really?
Yeah. In something like 9 out of 10 times, right?
Right.
And the runner-up, the loser of the final,
right,
will actually experience economic contraction much of the time. And it's, it's pretty crazy.
I guess because there is an optimism. And when there's optimism, there's buying things. And when there's a pessimism, there's a pulling in and a conserving.
And during this year's Super Bowl, reminded me, there were these ads that showed small children wearing the uniforms of different teams, showing how after the team from a certain city won the Super Bowl, there was a baby boom 9 months later.
Right.
So yeah, there are many positive feelings that get created. A lot of just a lot of joy, and that gets expressed in many ways, family, economy, what have you.
212-757-5555. It's, if you have a depressed person in your life, take them to the World Cup viewing this weekend. Take them there. And if you see a change, like Ray Ken, I mean, it's a good way to gauge the extent of a mood disorder, mm-hmm. right? I mean, if you're around people and you think you're clinically depressed, I mean, we know depressed, mm-hmm. and there's a scale 1 to 10, 1 to 20. But if you're a 10 and you go to a World Cup game and you get the sense a little bit of something, there's hope, right?
Well, I think, again, that, you know, a lot of depressed patients who, again, buy into big farm, that it's something biological, even though I'm a psychiatrist, but I don't buy big farm as little as you do,
right.
that there's something psychological, social, spiritual that goes into depression. It's just not brain chemistry and, you know,
right.
and the Brave New World, you know, there's something like that. And that, yes, that people who are isolating on the weekends and lonely and isolated and not interacting with others and connecting to others, that, yes, that's going to fuel their depression and feelings of loneliness and the like. And then obviously people, whether, again, different kinds of organizations and communities like religious synagogues, church, mm-hmm. mosque, and whatever like that. But certainly this would be in the realm of a community of people where people are, you know, connected over a shared passion for sports or something like that. There's no question that people's mood would increase, right? It's the, you
right.
know, where we therapists empower people to say, you have a choice. You're kind of down. I'm having a bad hair day. I'm not feeling good about myself. I've gained some weight. I don't want to go out of my house or whatever, as the worst thing you can do, as opposed to pushing yourself to something like all of you who are depressed. Go to, as Ben is talking about, go to one of these neighborhoods and get caught up in the enthusiasm and exuberance, and you'll probably find yourself, you know,
yeah.
getting swept up in the excitement and the
right.
joy that's going on all around you.
And you could build your plan on wellness, your own wellness and getting better around that feeling.
Right.
Saying, I am capable of feeling like I belong. I am capable of feeling connected. I do feel good when I'm with people. Why am I developing a treatment plan when I'm not involved in those things? No, your treatment plan should be, how do I accentuate this? How do I get more of this? My child, the depressed person in my life, is capable of this. How can I expose them to more opportunities
right.
for this? 212-757-5555, 212-757-5555. And I do want to go into, again, the aspects of well-being. You know, the number one course at Yale University is The Power of Happiness. That's the number one course, over 2,000 students in one lecture hall, and video screens, you know. And there's a science to happiness, and one of them is we need to belong somewhere. You need to feel contact and connection with other human beings, and it is contagious. Their mood, the mood of the group, will wear off on you. So we're going to go into those things after the first call.
Yeah, we're taking your calls here at 212-757-5555. I have Mario on the line. Hi, Mario. Thanks for calling.
Hey, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Who are you rooting for? Come on.
In my life these days, me.
Good. Well, that's a start. You can get a community out of that. Go. Tell us about your call. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, I heard you guys talking about teams and sports and all that.
Yeah.
I wonder what it would. All right, you might hear a beep. I got a call coming in.
Okay,
I won't take. I wonder what they would. What would have? Well, what do you guys think of in Mexico? Like they used to play to the death and get their head cut off and all of that.
Not good for positive psychology and well-being. But talk a little bit about that, Ben. You might know something about
that. That was the Aztec sport, right?
Yeah. Mayas. The Mayan with the hips, right? You would use your hip to hit a ball.
It's kind of basically a soccer game.
Yeah. You'd have a hoop, and you would use a hip to put it into a hoop. So it's a very, very difficult game. But going back to, you know, hundreds of years, the psychology of that community. Again, when people are like, oh, you know, sports is all about, you know, commercials and selling Coke and whatever, that's, you're not right. It's shown that many primitive cultures have a need to have sport, and that in the Mayan culture, this was a very, like the Olympics, it was a very big event that was about, you know, appeasing the gods and stuff like that, a much more primitive culture. But you know, and there was a sacrifice, I believe, related to that. Maybe that's what you're referring to.
So it's not the loser. The loser got his head chopped off, or the, go ahead.
The captain got his heart cut out or something, and then the losers could get their head chopped off. They would play for days, to even to exhaustion. Yeah. And the hoop was this concrete thing that was, like, pretty high up. I don't know how they did it, but
with their hips.
A little rubber ball.
Fantastic. Well, fascinating stuff. It's you know, now there's a boxing sport where guys are boxing for their freedom. You know, this new sport where guys who are in jail that in other countries, I think it's Vietnam and other countries, where they're competing and boxing, and if you win your fight, you get your freedom back. So, we've come a long way from chopping the head off. So
this sounds game is like still the roulette in the movie Deer Hunter.
But again, I think this game is played now. Again, if any of you are interested, go on YouTube. They still play this game, obviously with not the sacrifice or the like, but they still play this game in South America that you're talking about. If any of you want to see what we're talking about, it's a rich part
of growing culture. Growing up, major sports for me with our little clan of friends was we would partake. We would reenact. You know, we would watch major sports on TV or radio, hear it on radio, but then we would play them. So it was a sense of community or team building or whatever you want to say. We would play baseball, we'd play hockey, we'd play football, mostly baseball. And it was done in these lots and parks in upper Manhattan. And
Mario, I'm sorry to interrupt you in your midway, but we're going to our musical break half hour. But thanks for being the first call today.
All right.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thanks,
you're
Mario.
Welcome.
Take care.
And he makes a good point, Ben, about these lots throughout New York City where, you know, soccer is a simple thing. You don't need padding. You don't need any money. You can get a bunch of rubber bands and make a ball and a net. Right, Ben? So, I mean, there are aspects to it. 212-757-5555. Mario, thanks again for that call. We'll be back after this with some more of your calls. Again, 212-757-5555.
Do que aconteça, eu não quero que você esqueça que eu gosto muito de você. Chego, sinto o gosto do teu beijo, é muito mais do que desejo. Dá vontade de ficar. Seu olhar, forte como a água do mar, vem me dar novo sentido pra viver. Paz e Iemanjá, pra todo mundo que tá presente aqui na Acústico Nath Roots do Rio de Janeiro. Vamos junto. Cresça, independente do que aconteça,
deixa para tudo que vem. Flores brancas, paz e manja.
You are tuned into The Positive Mind here on 99.5 FM WBAI. I'm Ben Starr here with Kevin O'Donohue and Dr. Kent Robertshaw, our guest today, as we talk about
the international
and psychological benefits of the World Cup, how it brings us together as people internationally, as communities.
Is it mostly on the weekends? I mean, obviously people are off, and that's where you can really, if you're driving through the city, see this spectacle up front.
This has been a tough one, Kevin, because of the time zone, because of where it is. The games have been starting at 8. And then
at night or in the morning?
In the morning. And then there's a game at 11.
Okay.
And the next game, there's a game today at 2 o'clock. So the games are very early
compared to
last time it was in Brazil, which is much closer in line with our time zone.
So games would be
in the afternoon, late afternoon, and evening.
So people could work a half day and then congregate and get together. Right. It's hard to get people together at 8 o'clock
but
in the morning.
But this weekend, you know, there will be plenty of people out all over the city. I guarantee you that.
Right.
I mean, you can walk six blocks on Roosevelt Avenue and see a dozen different national jerseys. Mm. It's unbelievable.
Really? Where else in the city is this, Ben? I mean, what other teams? Is there like a Polish section?
Yeah, well, Greenpoint. Greenpoint, Brooklyn.
If we go to Greenpoint, Brooklyn, this weekend. It's
absolutely
a sea of red.
They're playing on Sunday.
Are they really?
Yep.
Any other towns? Call us if you know if your town is going to light up this weekend. 212-757-5555. We're going to talk more about...
I know Newark is very Portuguese. A lot of Portuguese people in Newark.
And Portugal's in the
World Cup
this year?
Yeah, they played this morning. They won.
Okay. Mm. Who's favored to win this year?
You know, I think it was Germany and Brazil, but they both struggled early on. So that's the thing. All the big teams have had a hard go of it.
It's great when a small country wins.
It is.
Like, what was it, 4 years ago? Costa Rica.
Yeah.
Costa Rica, this small country with 5 million people.
They beat Italy.
They beat, one of the major teams. The whole country took a week off.
Yeah.
212-757-5. Because I think, and that's a great thing for a national, for a country to do, to let the people know what it feels like to feel really, really positive, really good.
I don't understand, and I've been curious about this, hopefully on some, how is it possible a country, Jamaica, I think a population of 3 million, has some high percentage of sprinters and hurdlers, not just Adrian Bolt, the greatest sprinter from the last 8 years. They produce, that country of 3 million people consistently produce the top sprinters and hurdlers of the world year after year. What are they doing now?
What's
your
theory?
It's just unbelievable.
And what about now Iceland is the big the big little country. They have less people than Staten Island, and they've qualified for the World Cup.
Yeah, that's
so. There's just
you bring up they have a chant that they do, don't they, before every game?
Yeah,
they clap their hands.
They do this clap thing.
And here's the importance of psychology, folks. They found that when people sing the national anthem for their team, that the louder the group sings, the less goals the other team will score. So something, you feel empowered and you're guarded, you're guarding your country and you're guarding the goal, you know. So psychology is really deep into the sports.
Well, I think they think that's true with football, right? Seattle, right? There's little earthquakes in Seattle when they're, you know, again, certain enthusiasm from the fans obviously gets in the head of the other team or something like that. And then there's all sorts of superstitions at basketball games in terms of when people are doing free throws or
right.
So there is this sense of a feedback loop that the fans are participating. When I, you know, again, we won.
They wouldn't have won without me doing my handkerchief
the chanting
twirl
or something or superstition or something like that.
Yeah,
I think
there
really is this sense of we were responsible for their winning because we all wore their team colors and we were all chanting and encouraging them. And not only did we get our players to play better, but maybe we got in the heads of our opponents.
Exactly. 212-757-5555. We have Nick on the line. Hey, Nick.
Yeah. How are you?
Good. Who are you rooting for?
It's an interesting topic. In the World Cup,
In the World Cup, yeah.
The USA somehow, and maybe you can explain the vetting process, how they did not qualify, which is, that's the amazing point that just seems to be getting glossed over in all the hype. Right. How is it possible with the players pool that this country had to put together, they didn't even qualify for the World?
All right, listen to the answer, Nick, because Ben knows a lot about this. What happened?
They were in the qualifying round.
Right.
They made it to the last round of qualifying, and then they didn't make it. They didn't get the wins they needed.
A surprise upset, right? They were supposed to win.
They could have qualified, and they lost to Trinidad. And that's how they didn't make it. If they beat Trinidad, they would be in the World Cup.
So how many games do you play that you have to win in order to fully make it? I mean,
the qualifying takes years. I mean, as soon as this World Cup is over, they're going to start the qualifying for 2022. And there are different rounds. But the team that's there is Panama, is in the slot that Team USA would have had if they had won against Trinidad and Tobago.
Okay.
And that's what happened. So now Panama's there.
My
schoolmate was the varsity coach at Rutgers for many years, Bobby Riazzo. And Rutgers always had a good soccer program that outshone their baseball, which was pretty good.
Wow.
Their football, which was laughable. But Rutgers soccer was pretty good for a long time.
Right.
And what I'm saying is how that inability to advance by the USA in this World Cup should send this country into a full-blown depression, but we should bring it down.
Well, I mean, you bring up a good point. If it were international baseball or basketball, maybe the whole country would go into a depression. But, you know, soccer just hasn't gotten the legs yet in this country. But it's coming. Nick, we appreciate the call. We got many calls today. You're kicking us off.
All right.
212-757-5555. Rutgers did have a great, and I think they still do, soccer program. But, again, it's something that hasn't taken off in this country, and maybe we should talk a little bit about that. Why hasn't soccer taken off? It's such a cheap sport to begin. Any bunch of kids could get a game going. I think it requires incredible talent.
We just had a caller who was a fan of Senegal, who we lost them, though, so we'd love to hear from you. And congrats, Senegal just won their second ever
Against
World
Poland,
Cup.
Against Poland, right?
Yeah, yesterday, their second ever World Cup win. So that's a big deal.
212-757-5555.
We have Bertolt on the line. Hello.
This is real, the real Bertolt. Hello.
Yeah, how you doing?
Good. Welcome back. How are you?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
What team are you rooting for?
Of course, Brazil.
Tell us about it, Bertolt.
Every respectful South American, Latin American root for Brazil after they root for the team of their country. Or Argentina.
you're cutting your bets there. You're hedging your bets. So
it's one or the other. There's a two strong rivals, you know, I mean, and Mexico and all of these things have come later.
And what does it do to you? Go ahead.
Well, what is it about Brazil? I think, you know, just about all of Haiti, you know, has a, you know, earthquake just like when Mexico won.
Really?
When Brazil wins the championship or when Brazil wins any game, and then they go into depression when Brazil loses. Because Haiti has not really been able to have a strong team because of a lack of money and resources.
Okay.
To represent their style.
Right.
And so, you know, we chose a champion. And it's interesting to me that I was on vacation, and so, you know, kids like to relax. My 20-year-old daughter is waking up at 7 in the morning to watch games.
Wow.
And she's saying, like, how much she really, really wants Brazil to win. So I'm like, how did that come about? I never talked about that.
Fantastic.
They just picked it up somehow, yeah.
Wow, that's super. She picked it up from you. She picked it up from watching mom and dad.
Yeah.
She sees.
I used to watch me play, but, you know, like mom and dad and everybody else, the whole family is all Brazil. And
what does it do for Haiti? What does it do for Haiti? I mean, in general.
I think it's empowerment. You know, it they do what we cannot do. And, you know, we like to think of them as a third world country like us. And I mean, not anymore, but I mean, that's how we associated with them.
Yeah.
And, you know, they were the David of the soccer world.
Let me. And does it establish a connection between Haiti and Brazil? I mean, politically or emotionally?
I don't know if politically. You know, I mean, when actually the United Nations troops came to Haiti, and they sent mostly Brazilians.
Right.
The last time around.
Right.
And they were welcomed.
Right.
I don't know if, like, obviously when troops come to your country after a while, they're not welcome anymore, but they were welcome with open arms, you know?
Yeah.
When Brazil comes to Haiti, came to Haiti with Pelé to play against Haiti.
Yeah.
Every time the Brazilian team scored, the whole country cheered. I mean, it's like, you know.
Wow.
Crazy. Yeah.
Bertel, thanks for giving us a call. One last question. Do you have a yellow and green jersey?
Yes, of course.
Go Brazil. Thanks for calling.
Go Brazil.
Thank you, Bertel.
212-757-5555.
You know, it's interesting. Pelé was a very famous player, considered one of the greats. He toured all over the world.
Yeah.
And when he went and played in Nigeria, they actually had a civil war going on, and they had a truce.
Get out.
They stopped the civil war so that everybody could go to the stadium and watch Pelé play.
Yeah.
Wow. And that's the beauty of it, the unifying
Dennis
power.
Rodman, you know? Dennis Rodman going to North Korea.
I think Brazil is the only team that's won 2 years in a row, I believe.
And I think that's true.
That's true. So Pelé is a monster. Again, for those of you who don't know soccer very well, he just mentioned Portugal But again, there's superstars out there. Messi, Ronaldo. There are people who are, again, in the world of soccer that are like LeBron James, Michael Jordan, Tom Brady. There are, and then now they're representing their home country, right? So we mentioned there are like uber superstars that the world know and respect. And again, Messi and
they be ambassadors for world peace? Ben, what's your thought?
I think so.
Really?
I mean, also the Didier Drogba stopped a civil war in Ivory Coast.
Right. What do you mean he stopped the war?
He asked people to stop fighting because they qualified for the World Cup for the first time, and the country was so happy.
What year was this?
They were qualified for the 2006 World Cup.
Get out. One guy got a country to stop fighting.
Yeah, he and the players got on their knees and asked the people to lay down their weapons and make peace, and it worked. So that's...
212, the power of soccer, 212-757-5555. We have Al on the line. Hey, Al.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Actually, I'm not from Senegal. I'm from Gambia, the country within the country of Senegal.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. So you're...
Yes, I'm rooting for Senegal. I'm rooting for Senegal because I wanted to motivate the Gambians this way they can move ahead. So whatever Senegal do, I think it will have a...
Yeah,
sort of a reflection on Gambia. This way we can motivate them to do good next time.
Well, they had a good start yesterday, Al.
Yes, they have a good start, and I'm glad they did.
What color is their jersey, Al?
Yellow.
Do you have one of those?
No, I don't have it.
No. Would you be allowed to wear
it? I'm going to get one by the next game.
Good. So you think it's going to have a positive effect on your part of the country?
Yes. Yes, of Gambia, because they have a lot in common. In fact, you wouldn't be able to differentiate them if they don't speak. It's the same country. It's just one side is colonized by France, the other side by England.
Uh-huh. And does it...
Yes.
What do you think? Will it encourage your countrymen to, like, cross the bridge
and really connect with the
English?
Yes. I mean, maybe we can. And also, a lot of Gambians are playing in the Senegalese League.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so I think if they do it well, it will kind of motivate the Gambians to do good because they, like I said, they have a lot in common.
I see. Listen, I just am curious about how you are on game day. I mean, do you yell and scream and shout? You sound like you have a great voice to really cheer on your team.
Oh yes, of course. I mean, you'll be surprised by next week. I think we'll be in the next game on Sunday. They'll win it. And there's going to be more stream on 116th Street in Harlem. Come over.
Is that where the Senegal fans get together?
And have some cheer with them, the national dish.
Nice. Is that where the Senegalese fans meet up?
Yes, on 116th Street.
And what avenue?
Between 7 and 8. between 7 and 8.
Beautiful. We're coming with our car and our radio.
Yeah, come over, come over.
I love Senegal food, too. My God, I adore Senegal food. It's delicious.
Hey, Al, thanks for giving us a call.
All right.
Well, look out for Senegal. Go Senegal.
Good luck.
Good luck.
212-757-5555.
You know, sometimes you just want to hear what a certain person. We had a guy call in yesterday who had this really good radio voice. You want to hear what their cheers would be like. Al sounds like, to me, somebody who could really let it roar.
Yeah.
You know?
It's true, though, what he said. I mean, there is a hot spot for every country just because of how represented everyone is here in New York City.
Mm.
Every country has, you know, whether it's a bar or a restaurant or a neighborhood or a strip, right? Yeah. A block or two. And so apparently for Senegal, it's 116th. In Manhattan.
Good to know. If you're from Senegal and didn't know that, you can go up there on Sunday. They're playing 116th between 7th and 8th and get some Senegal food and some Senegal spirit. So any other neighborhoods? We only have about 5 minutes, so I'd love to hear any other neighborhood, any other meeting places.
There's a place on Queens Boulevard where all the Argentine fans meet up. It's called Boca Juniors. I've been there a couple times.
What street?
I don't remember.
Queens Boulevard.
Around Elmhurst, around there.
Okay.
Yeah.
37th Avenue or something like that.
Something like that.
Something like that.
But wherever you go, I mean, you know, Italy's not in it this year.
Ben, we need 2 hours. We need to do a two-hour show. I'm telling you, man. We're just starting to get calls, folks. We're staggering our calls again, just like yesterday. But we do need a two-hour format. So we do it pretty – it's really just kicking off. So we didn't get to – well, so we have 5 minutes. Other benefits, psychological benefits of being a spectator. You get to feel in public. You know, one thing they're showing about British men when they go to these soccer games, you know, British men are notoriously tightly reined in, or have no access or – do not express emotion. But when they go to the game, you know, they can scream and even cry,
right.
You know. I mean, for the first time in their life, you know, it can be like the emotional place for British men to go. Kent, do you know any stats on this or any information?
Yeah. Again, it's you know, a place, well, as you mentioned, like rock concerts as well. It's one of the few places that adults can feel free enough to be exuberant, right? Something that I said before, I think we're unconsciously shamed to fit into society and school, to button up and not be, and to quote unquote curb your enthusiasm. We have a little Jimmy the Cricket that says that in our heads,
right?
Which is horrible, because exuberance and joy is what makes life on earth wonderful, right? So if this is an opportunity that people normally confined and self-conscious are able to jump up and down and scream and be happy and joyful and celebratory, then it's a beautiful thing.
Right. I recommend going in for 2 hours, just chant the whole way. Convert everybody in the stadium to do your chant. Because if you're shy and wrapped up tightly, it's a great place just to even speak out. Just get your voice out there. So 212-757-5555. Well, other things, you live longer. If you're a sports fan, if you have a team that you're loyal to, that they're finding you live longer because you have a social network, and the network reduces your amount of stress. You can, you know, let go of some of your stress by interacting with people. And a sense of accomplishment. You know, you would think, like, I didn't do it. I didn't score the goal. But they're finding that people who are spectators or loyal to a team, they sort of feel like they are accomplishing something, you know? So we have one last call. We have Robert on the line. Hello.
Hello. Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Hi.
I saw the game with Spain and Portugal.
Yep.
It was a great game, even though it was tied 3-3, right? Well, my comment about the American team is that I don't know if they put in their heart into the game.
Yeah.
They're trying to recruit players from all over the world. I noticed that.
Mm.
But soccer is the kind of game you have to put your heart into it. It's very, you have to be really in really good shape as far as almost like a marathon runner.
Robert,
the one thing
as a basketball player I'm aware of is how much running these soccer guys do. They nobody's dogging it out there. right? You can't hide.
That's right.
Everybody's out there. So you're saying something about USA and soccer, that we just don't put our energy there. Ben, can you talk a little bit about, is something missing from the USA soccer team?
I just think we haven't prioritized it above our other sports. And until, if that never happens, I don't think anything will change. But, Robert, thank you so much for the call.
I have another quick comment.
Go ahead.
The topic is good, but the screening of the phone call is delaying it, and it doesn't have that spontaneity.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, everybody's calling in at once, so I get what you're saying. What should we do? What should we do better?
Well, try to make the call more, right through a little faster.
All right.
Thank you, Robert.
We'll try that. And maybe we should sharpen our question, and maybe we can get people on faster. But it's a good point. Anything to improve the show, we are interested. Go watch a sports team this weekend, folks. Just take your friend, take your kid. Go with a friend. Take your grandparent. Take your parents. I mean, get out there and shout. It's going to feel good. We'll see you next week.
Thanks, Dr. Kent Robertshaw, for being here.
Always a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Thanks, Ben.
Take care.